filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Happy Mother's Day. It is always a special day each spring, and we are thankful that we have so many mothers here, and we also have several guests that have come to be with us. I'm no doubt sure partly in reason because it is Mother's Day, and we're glad that you're here and hope that you'll come back and be with us at other opportunities as well. I'd like to wish my mom and mother-in-law happy Mother's Day, and Amanda also happy Mother's Day. And special day. I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1 there, where we'll be talking about that text and Paul's mention of the faith of his grandmother and mother, of Timothy's grandmother and mother. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. The title of our lesson is what Paul mentions here in this passage when he says, "When I call to remembrance," Paul's thinking about his relationship with Timothy. And I'm going to use some of that in the what he says toward Timothy in this reference to his grandmother and mother, and we're going to make some application to us. And so not all of it is Paul thinking about Timothy's grandmother and mother, but it's also Paul thinking about Timothy. But I want to apply that as if we are thinking about our mothers. When I call to remembrance, when I think about my mom, and I know as you think about yours, for some, your mom may not still be living, and so it brings a mixture for us of joy and tears. When we think about your mom, you think about some of the special things, whether it was eating meals together, whether it in the home you grew up in, some of the activities and hobbies that you participated in, maybe special vacations or discussions you had with mom, or some of the things that mom liked, whether she liked gardening or flowers or activities, going shopping and out to eat together. I remember enjoying those things and vacations. We would go to the lake and other places like Branson and things, and how those were all such special times, and how moms are known for their nurturing and caring, and certainly our moms are such a blessing to us in those ways. When we call to remembrance, what do our minds think of? This morning I want to think about four things. The first thing Paul says here in verses 3 and following, he references his tears that he has, for Timothy. He says in verse 3, "I thank my God whom I serve as I did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, and I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." Paul is talking about the tears that were shed apparently by Timothy and some of the trouble and the anxiety maybe that he was facing in his work there at Ephesus. Maybe it was the tears that were shed when Paul was leaving and how he was longing to see Paul and was upset that Paul had to leave. Paul says, "I long to see you. I wish that we could be together." Paul, as Timothy's father in the faith, and Timothy as his son, there was this mutual longing. He's talking about tears. When we think about moms, certainly this is a topic that we might not often consider on Mother's Day, but Paul talks about tears here. When we think about tears, we really think about love. And certainly that's a topic we think about on Mother's Day. That we love deeply, and moms more and better than any of us, don't they, are great at loving. And one thing we don't realize, I think, a lot as when we're growing up is the anxiety, the worry, the tears that are shed over us as kids. Teenagers, we certainly don't understand that oftentimes. The tears, the prayers that are prayed for us. And dads, we worry and we have concern and we may shed some tears from time to time, but moms, that nurturing, that loving, that attentiveness, tears of mom They can weep tears in seeing their adult kids' life, maybe sadness or problems, or maybe tears even as they lose a child. There's tears and challenges of being a parent, and being a parent is so emotional because you often feel like you fail and don't do what you want to do and as you want to do it. And so he's talking about tears. When we think about a relationship, we think about mom, we think about relationships. You know, families are built around relationships, and moms are so much the hub and the center of that family circle, aren't they? And moms keep everybody connected, and so many times it's the moms who are the interchange between dad and the kids and dad, and they keep everybody informed, and moms are about the relationship. And so when we think about Paul, I long to see you. Moms care about the relationship. You know, we get, as children and young children, you get all wrapped up in stuff and things and activities and the busyness of life. Dads can get involved in work and things. But moms, they're tuned to the relationship. How's Johnny doing? How's Sue doing? They want to know how they're doing. Tears, the love. And also let me say before we move on and talk about another thing Paul remembers here, and that is that it may be a need as well to shed some tears. It's not wrong, certainly, it's not ever wrong, and certainly not today, to shed some tears for mom. Maybe you've lost your mom, and there's some who have lost their mom or grandmother recently. And that often comes right as this day comes, and that makes it difficult. And tears are certainly appropriate. And that can even have feelings of guilt or resentment. Lots of times for people that have had their moms that didn't have a good relationship with their mom. And maybe tears need to be shed as well. I read about a little girl who lost her mother to TB. And now she was a 40-year-old woman. And she still, as she was recounting and dealing with some things in her life, with another loss in her life, she realized that the way she had processed death and the way she had processed a lot of things and even her relationship with other people had been because she had never really, as a little 3 or 4-year-old girl, and then as she was moved around the house to house and experienced a lot of abuse and things growing up, she had never really gotten over and been able to deal with the loss of her mom. And as she was able as an adult woman to really grieve and shed tears for her mom, was she able to reach forward in life again more? Paul said, when I call to remembrance mom's tears. But next we notice, he says, when I call to remembrance mom's faith. Mom's faith. It says in verse number 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Talking about Timothy's faith, but he then compliments Timothy's grandmother and mother, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Now I am sure dwells in you as well. This is a faith that is, notice, modified by the adjective sincere. That's significant, isn't it? It's not a fake faith. You know, children see their mom's real faith. They do. Because you can't hide from your children. They see you all the time. And he says, I want you to know that, Timothy, you saw the faith of your grandmother and the faith of your mother. And now I know that that same sincere faith that was in them is now in you. The word sincere, I looked it up in the word that's used here, and it means undisguised. Wasn't fake. Wasn't anything that was put on. But it was undisguised and it was real. Real. In Acts chapter 16, we read about how Timothy became a Christian in the background of his family a little bit. And apparently, on Paul's missionary journey, he had come through and he had converted Timothy's family. And then he goes back through again, and that's when he's going to pick up with Timothy and help him become an evangelist and preacher. But he's talking about this in Acts 16, and he says, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. Apparently this is the second time he's come through. First time converted the family, has to leave because of persecution. Now he comes back. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but whose father was Greek. Apparently Timothy's father was not a believer. He was actually even a Gentile. So you have a mixed marriage, if you will. A Gentile married to a Jew. At least a Greek person married to a Jewish lady. And this is going to explain why Timothy, because of his evangelistic work to the Jewish audience, Paul is going to later compel him to be circumcised so it wouldn't be an issue with the Jewish brethren, because he had been brought up somewhat Greek. Notice how Timothy had overcome the lack of faith in his father through the great faith, the sincere faith of the women in his life. It is significant to note, as many people have experienced, that the faith of mom is often the reason they have faith. You know, there's a lot of women that have taken their children to church, have done the best to train their children. They did not have the support, they did not have the love of a fellow believer in their spouse. The father wasn't interested in church. The father didn't have a sincere faith. The father wasn't into those things. Apparently that was the case with Timothy. And he says, I am thankful for the sincere faith of your mother and your grandmother. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, later in this same letter, and this is a famous passage because it talks about how we receive the Scripture later on, but in verse 14 and 15, Paul says about Timothy, as you continued in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and that from a childhood you have been acquainted or you have known the sacred writings of the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From a little child, Timothy was being taught the Bible. In his context, that was the Old Testament. He was being taught about God. He was looking for a Messiah even before Jesus came along. He was focused. And when Paul came and told him about Jesus, they were ready because they knew the Holy Scriptures. They had been studying them and they knew them well. Mom's faith is so important. We're so thankful for the faith of mine. And when we call to remembrance, when you think about your own faith, let me encourage you to think about the faith of mom and be grateful for that faith and what she did to instill faith within you. Moms, let us continue to pass that on, realizing what an important role you have in the faith of your children. Number three, Paul goes on and he speaks about the gift that he wants Timothy to stir up. And he says in verse number six, for this reason I remind you, he reminds Timothy again, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Now, Timothy is being spoken of here, not Timothy's mom. But I want to make application, because Paul says, I want you, Timothy, to stir up the gift that is within you. When I think about moms, too, you know, you see these news stories. And I think we've probably all seen this at times. There'll be then some awful crime. Something's happened and there's this man been taken off, or maybe even a teenage boy that's got into some a lot of trouble. And everybody, you know, is talking about how could he do this? And he's just a troubled child and a troubled young man. He's been promised. And then they interview his mom. And what does the mom say? I just don't understand how this could happen. He's such a good boy. moms and everybody else is thinking, no, he's not a good boy. He's got all these problems. But moms do what? Moms love, don't they? Moms see the potential. They see the good in their children. Maybe even to a biased fault at times. And that's all right. Because moms believe. Moms support. Moms encourage. I think about Forrest Gump. And what did Forrest Gump always say? Well, Mama always said. And Mama always influenced what Forrest said. Moms impart important beliefs to their children and give them an important confidence. You see, we even have an expression. That's someone, or maybe we say that's a face, that only a mom could love. Only a mom could love that, we say jokingly. Because moms love. Moms encourage. What I want you to think about what Paul's saying here, moms see the gifts in their children. Call to remembrance how your mom believed in you. How your mom believed in you. For most of us, mom gave us great confidence. And they believed in us. Not to say that that's the case for all, but for most of us, mom was the one who believed and had confidence in us. That you can go to school, you can do well on those grades, and they expected us to do well on those grades. You can go to college. You can do these things. You can play sports better than others. And they believed in that. Even if everybody was looking at it thinking, they can't play very good. Mom was still thinking, you're one of the best out there. You need to be playing. You see, moms believe. And moms believe you could do better. Moms are our number one fan. When I call to remember the gifts that you have. Stir them up. Timothy wasn't using them. He wasn't living up to his potential. Aren't you thankful that moms always see the potential in us? And they stir us up to our potential. And then the last thing is what I was mentioning. Really, this is the point. What I was saying about Forrest, I got a little confused. Forrest always remember what mom said. And notice what Timothy mentions here. Timothy is... Paul is going to mention in verse number 9, therefore do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in sufferings for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of your works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus. Fourth thing Paul says to Timothy is, don't be ashamed. And when you think about mom, and I'm speaking about Christian moms here, moms that love the Lord, moms tell you, and they probably told you this more than once, that you can't be like other people. You can't be like everybody else. You know, my mom, and they always say the same, well, if everybody goes and jumps off a bridge, are you going to go jump off a bridge? Of course, kids think, well, why is everybody going to be jumping off a bridge? But they emphasize things like that, don't they? That you don't need to be like everybody else. And that I love you and I care for you even though you're different. Moms call us. They call us to be different. Now dads do too. But moms teach us to not be ashamed for who we are. For the way we look, you may be short, you may be tall, you know, you may look a little different than everybody else. But that's fine because... you are who you are. You're special. God made you special. You're not to be ashamed of who you are. The courage to not be ashamed of the gospel. We need moms of faith to imprint upon their children that they stand for something. We need moms to help them understand who they are and to remember what our mom taught us. Moms teach us that we are to not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, I want to show a video. And the video is from a preacher of the gospel in Memphis. And I've heard him preach on a couple of occasions at the lectures. And this was from a year ago in 2015. But he was speaking in Tennessee. He's also a representative for the state of Tennessee in the state legislature. And he makes a little speech. And the speech is about our nation. And it's about standing for something. And I want you to listen to it. And I want to emphasize that what he's saying is about our home. And it's about large role that us fathers and especially mothers today need to help carry out. So hopefully, I didn't get to test this out, but hopefully this is going to work. Let me click it, go. Let me back up. Will it play, Brad? Nope. It's not. There we go. Now, if we have audio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Sponsor yield.
Yes.
You know, with me, the real issue here, it goes beyond what we're talking about right now and about the Bible and the state book and the South and the flowers and the animals and all of that stuff that we're talking about right now. But to me, the real issue is that we've become a nation with an identity crisis. We don't know who we are anymore. We have become so accommodating without discretion that we have lost our core, our creed, and we violate everything we used to stand for. You know, when President Roosevelt stood up on December 7th and talked about December 7th, he talked about the righteous might of the United States of America. That righteous might that he spoke of on that day, colleagues, had to do with the fact that he understood that we had a benefactor that allowed us to beat the superpower of the world at that particular time with a few conscripts, a canoe that had a cannon strapped on it, and basically we were not supposed to win and be a nation, but we became a nation because of that righteous might, because there was someone greater than we are. We call ourselves a superpower right now, and we are a superpower in the world. But we've got all of this stuff to fight with, but we've forgotten what we fight for. We've forgotten what we stand for. We've forgotten who we are. We go to other nations, they have absolutely no problem. They are not sensitive to the fact that their religion is their religion, and they don't really care what our beliefs and our thoughts and what we think about the way they run their country. We've opened up the doors to everything, and that's fine. We have the greatest document ever written by mankind, the American Constitution. But it is a document that was written by men who were tempered by a greater document than themselves, or than the Constitution, and that's the Word of God. It's not even about whether or not we make the Bible the state book. It's about the fact that when we look at our grandchildren and our children right now, men and women of this chamber, we better start thinking about something. If we want to pass on to them the great blessings and the tremendous opportunities that we've had as Americans ourselves growing up in this great nation, it scares me to think, and it frightens me to think, what this nation is going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now if we don't start standing up for something right now. We sit down on the seat of do nothing, lean back on the elbows of do less, and say, wake me up when it's all over. Americans have better wake up. We have come to a position in this nation where everything that our forefathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, everything that they fought for is in question. We're taking crosses off the graves of men who gave their last measure of devotion for this nation. We're taking the crosses off of their graves. We're speaking against them and speaking against everything that they died for, as though it means absolutely nothing. This is greater than the Bible becoming the state book of Tennessee. Our enemy said over 50 years ago that they would take this nation without firing a shot. They said they were going to divide us from within. They were going to make us destroy ourselves. And the way to do that is to make us forget who we are, what we are, whose we are, and what we fight for and stand for. Good gracious alive. Why don't you stand for something? Stand for something and stop falling for everything.
He does a great job, doesn't he? And isn't that an important message? And I think that what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it begins in the homes. It's what he was talking about as well. Of instilling these virtues that I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. To know who you are. So when we call to remembrance, we think about Mom's tears, the love and the care she had. We think about Mom's faith. Think about the confidence and the potential she saw in us. And we think about the courage, what she wants us to be. You know, it may be the case this morning that you're even thinking about your life and you're thinking about what Mom wanted you to be. And maybe you've been away from the Lord. Maybe you've been away from the church. And you need to come back. And you know you do. And you know Mom had taught you better. You know Mom had instilled these things within you. And she wanted you not to be ashamed. And you know you need to be restored. You need to come back. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, we're going to give you that opportunity as well. We're going to have a song to encourage you. If you need to come forward for any reason, come as together we stand and sing.
Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be.